The next matter before the court is 14-747, Week v. Week. The next matter is 14-747, Week v. Week. Counsel, whenever you're ready. I guess my first question is, am I pronouncing the name correctly?
I believe it's Weesh.
Weesh, okay. I apologize for the mistake.
That's okay. I think it took us a while in our office to pronounce it correctly. May it please the court. My name is Amy Melton from Megan Melton Delaney, and I am here on behalf of Craig Weesh, the appellant in this matter. Your Honors, this is a case of abuse of discretion by the district court in dividing assets and debts in a marital dissolution. This is a case where the parties were only married for 5 years. It was a very short-term marriage. Both are in their late 40s. No children were born of the marriage. At the time of trial, both of them were making approximately the same amount of money, and both had worked for the entire term of the marriage. The husband, my client, the appellant, is a Bellevue police officer, and the wife is an insurance sales agent. At the time the parties got married in May of 2008, the husband had a 401k valued at about approximately $51,000. The Bellevue police do not have a defined benefit plan, so they are on a 401k defined contribution plan with no pensions. The wife earned a higher salary, actually, at the time that they were married, but she did not have a 401k. She did, however, have a lot of debt. She came into the marriage with $56,000 in debt, and after the marriage filed for bankruptcy. The parties proceeded to repay the Chapter 13 bankruptcy debt during their 5 years of marriage at a rate of $1,200 per month. The parties also purchased a home in 2009. That's an uncontroverted fact that the parties were married in 2008. The home was purchased in 2009. The home was purchased, though, in a loan in the name of the wife only. In 2011, or shortly thereafter, after they got married, the wife did start a 401k and contributed to that 401k. And then in 2011, she cashed in the 401k to a net value of $18,380 to purchase items for the home, for herself, for a trip for the couple to take a vacation, and taxes and licensing for a car that the husband drove. All of her 401k was contributed during the marriage and withdrawn during the course of the marriage. And the wife continues and admitted that she continues to have possession of all of the items that were purchased at that time. The district court awarded the following. The wife received the entire house, including the $6,400 in equity, which is uncontroverted. The assessed value by the Sarpy County was $187,000, and the wife testified that the mortgage was $181,000 and that the home was purchased during the marriage. The court did not address the equity in the home and awarded the entire home to the wife. The court then awarded the wife over 58% of the value of the retirement, awarded the wife $42,398,000.
This would be from the 401k.
And this would be from the husband's 401k, and that would be the accrued amount. What the district court did is chose an arbitrary date of March 6th of 2014, and that's where he valued the accrual amount of the retirement from the date of marriage, and then the date of trial was in May, and the court chose March 6th. The parties separated at the end of September 2014, and the complaint for dissolution was filed the 2nd of October. So within a week of the separation of the parties, this complaint was filed. The appellant is arguing that the date of separation should be used for the date at which the retirement accrued amount of the retirement should be valued. The reason being is that after the date of separation, there was no joint contribution to any of the retirement. They lived apart. In fact, the wife lived in the marital home. Shortly after the complaint was filed, the husband was ordered to pay alimony and her car payment in the amount of $400. So there was absolutely no contributions or joint contributions to that pension after the separation. In fact, my client continued to pay and contribute to the wife, but there was no contributions back from the wife. And I believe that in prior rulings of the court, that that is to be taken into consideration, what kind of joint contribution there was after the date of separation to that pension. Moreover, I don't know where an arbitrary date of March 6 would come from.
Weren't most of the assets valued, though, sometime between March and May? I mean, they're kind of all over during that three-month time period.
Well, actually, the assets, we used the Sarpy County assessor for the value of the home, so that would have been the prior year assessed value. And I guess my further argument would be that the other assets that we were talking about are the sick, vacation, and comp, which I don't believe are property.
But the mortgage, that was as of May.
The mortgage would have been as of May. However, my client contributed in the amount of alimony at least 50 to 75% in a monthly amount, at least in alimony, to those contributions.
And the liens on the vehicles, those were
My client continued to pay that actually until the date of the decree when the order came out. My client continued to pay for her $400 car payment. So we still valued it at a date sometime in March, but my client continued to pay that $400, received no credit. I'm sorry, gentlemen.
I'm sorry. Are you done? Could we turn to the compensatory time or comp time for a moment?
Yes.
My understanding of the record is there's no value assigned to the comp time in the record, is there?
There really isn't any value assigned on the record. It's just this was the value, kind of the monetary value he had. I would argue that comp time really can't be valued.
I don't understand what you mean when you say that.
I think that there was given that he had approximately $1,400 in comp time. But
1,400 hours.
No, there was just a monetary amount. There wasn't any. Oh. There wasn't any hourly amounts in the testimony. The comp time was unclear. It on the vacation and the sick, there were an exact amount of hours assigned.
And there was this approximation on the comp time.
Yeah, it's his pay time hours of comp time. So there's kind of a formula, and I don't think that it's clear in the testimony on the record what that was.
Okay, so. Also, is there evidence that he was entitled to cash that out, like vacation time or sick leave?
Right. Actually, the evidence on the record, because the union contract for the Bellevue Police was admitted into evidence.
Okay.
And he also testified the contract had changed, and we had a K, and forgive me for not remembering her last name, but there was a witness that came from Sarpy County that testified, yes, the contract had changed. He can no longer cash in that. He testified to that himself. The only way he can get that sick time is to use the sick time, or at the time he retires, the sick time, he'll get half of the value.
Right.
And here, half of the value is $4,600. And the district court judge awarded the appellee $4,600. Even if this court finds that it is a marital asset, even though it can't be defined and he may take it, I still believe it should be half of what the judge ordered. But moreover, he had premarital sick time and premarital vacation. So even if this court finds that that is property to be divided, I think that you should subtract out with the non-marital, which would be his premarital, which would leave virtually zero.
But just to wrap up on the comp time, though, is there not evidence in the record that it can be calculated, a value can be calculated?
It is not clear on the record that a value can be calculated.
And is it clear from the record whether he can cash that out or not?
No, it is not. I believe he testified that he can't cash any benefits out because of they are under a defined contribution plan. They're not able to cash in their vacation since that contract changed. I'd like to reserve that minute and 30 for rebuttal.
Sorry about this. Okay, now you got me a little confused. So he can't buy that or take it now, but when he retires, is he entitled to compensation for his unused sick leave? And his
if he has any.
If he has any.
If he has any.
Yeah.
That's correct.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Counsel, whenever you're ready.
Good morning. It may please the court. My name is Mike Sherber. I represent the appellee who is present with me. Let me quickly address Judge Irwin's question on the comp plan. Exhibit 11 has a copy of the union contract, documents showing what his sick leave and vacation was as close to date of marriage and what it was in March, and I'll tell you why we use the March date. Also attached to it is two of his pay statements, and on the pay statement, the most recent one shows comp time, and it gives a value, which is like $1,490. So that's where the judge got those numbers. The use of the March date was simply because, and you can determine it by looking at the transcript, you can see when I sent a records deposition to the city of Bellevue to get the pension information, the Bellevue city attorney responded in March 2014. Gave us the numbers of March. Gave us the numbers of May, the month prior to date of marriage, and that's how we computed what was earned during marriage. We didn't have the numbers for May at the actual date of trial. Interestingly, the Supreme Court and this court's held that you can use date of separation, you can use date of trial, or you can use any other date which has some connection to the property. If the court wants to use date of trial, we will not object, because that will give us another 2 months.
What about the date of separation?
We object to that. And I think that's why Judge Zastera was kind of cutting the bale of hay in the middle and used the March date.
Can I ask you about the value of the home? My understanding is from the record that that was basically based upon the assessed valuation by the Saunders County.
The wife testified that was her opinion, which was also the opinion of the assessor. And as you know, the state legislature said assessors must value at market value. And there's always been this continual misstatement by the appellant about the equity. There's an exhibit that's before you.
Before you go there, let's keep talking about the value. As I recall, Sarpy County always has the value for the current year, as opposed to every other than Douglas County. They're always a year behind.
I think you're correct. Sarpy is current.
So my question is the value that was $186,503, was that the value as of January 1st, 2013? Or January 1st, 2014?
I believe it's January of 2014.
Thank you. And then now you can go on.
Okay, then we just subtracted the mortgage balance, which there's an exhibit showing what it is, and then she calculated the cost of sale at 6%. And as a result, there is a net equity, and the exhibit I prepared shows a negative equity of around $6,800. Where I come from, numbers in parentheses are minus numbers. They keep reading it as a plus, and that's simply not it. You can do the math. Take the value, subtract the mortgage, subtract the 6%, you have negative equity in that house.
Was there a current purchase on that house? I mean, the 6% deduction?
No,
why did
that
she get
would
that?
Have been the cost for her to sell the house.
If she was going to sell it, but there was no evidence that she was going to sell it.
No, there was no contract. We calculated cost of sale. If it was going to be sold. Excuse me. The judge could have ordered that house sold, and those two folks would have been in the hole because someone would have had to come up with the cost of sale.
So. Unless they did it by owner.
Okay. Thank you. I think when you look at what the judge did, you have to look at it as a whole. For the first 4 years of the marriage, she was averaging over $145,000 a year gross, while he was, you know, maybe a third of that as a Bellevue policeman. And I think that the judge was aware of that, and he considered that she was paying the family bill, she was doing the mortgage, she was doing everything, because he'd been previously married. He came into this marriage with a child support. He paid over $37,000 child support during this marriage. He had to pay some debts from his first marriage that his first wife was ordered to do, what she didn't, and there's exhibits showing he tried to hold her in contempt and she filed bankruptcy, so he got stuck on the debts that he shouldn't have. And he came into the marriage with a Sallie Mae loan of under $4,000. So I think what the judge was doing in balancing the pension money, the house, the credit card debt, was doing it as a package rather than cherry-picking the one thing and saying, well, this sounds good to me and this one sounds bad to me. They had a lot of unsecured consumer debt, and she was ordered to pay $10,500 worth, and he was ordered to pay $11,350 worth. opposing counsel says he paid alimony during the temporary period. You will see in the court record and in the exhibits, he was over $2,000 delinquent at date of trial, and for whatever reason, the judge let him slide on it. So he got a $2,000 gift. He didn't even comply with that. One thing that you should be aware of, and maybe you are from the brief, prior to trial, the husband signs an affidavit where he says that this house, that he has no interest in the house, and that is not a marital debt. He then comes in the trial and says, well, I'm half owner of the house and I want half of the equity, but there is no equity. Well, the case law is very clear. When a person changes their sworn testimony to get some advantage in litigation, that it should be disregarded as a matter of law. And so you should disregard any testimony he gave concerning the house. And the only credible testimony is her testimony, value, mortgage, cost of sale.
Could you move at trial to have that stricken?
I believe I did. I'm quite certain I did, because I had a copy of the case, which I gave to Judge Zastair at the time. But as I indicated, if you look at the whole package, of course, nobody gets what they want in a divorce. I'm sure they both wish they got something different, but the whole package, it's very fair. It's almost 50-50, which is as fair as you can get, and there's just no air here, just maybe sour grapes. Thank you.
Thank you very much. How much time does the appellant have left? Counsel.
Thank you. I think this case comes down, which hasn't been discussed, is the $56,000 in premarital debt that was paid off during the marriage for her bankruptcy that was not taken into account by the district court judge. And so in this, in this case, really what the appellee says is she believes she's entitled to half of his retirement. So what's his is theirs, but what's hers is hers. And that's exactly what this case came down to. There was no accounting for $56,000 in premarital debt that was paid during the marriage. And we admit that there was approximately $3,500 paid in premarital debt for him. We took that into account as well. It was actually student loans for his ex-wife that he ended up having to pay. But that was paid during the marriage, and that should be taken into account, and that should be put into his column. But I think that there should be a credit for that. If it's paid during the marriage and it was premarital, there should be a reduction in the amount of payment that he should have to pay out of his retirement. That was all of his money that was put into retirement. But as we all know, when you get married and you take on this legal obligation of basically contributing to the marriage, it is to be shared. But I think also the court has laid out a clear law that if it is premarital, you are going to get a credit for that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The matter will be deemed submitted. Thank you, counsel, for being here today. We appreciate you coming out to Seward for oral arguments and your excuse.